Matt Radio, Sports Radio 610. We have the Texans and Dolphins. Deshaun Watson against Brock Osweiler on Thursday. Sean and I have the pregame at, let's see, 420. The kickoff's at 720, I think. I'm pretty sure about that. And we've got the kickoff, obviously, with Mark and Andre. Then after the game, stay tuned for Sean, Paul, and Cecil Shorts taking you deep into the night with a reaction to this Week 8 matchup. Let's go right now to the Buyer's Barricades Hotline. He is brought to you by Trailer, Wheel, and Frame, your number one source for all of your trailer and towing needs. Lance McCullers on Mad Radio. Lance, Mike, Seth, and Paul, good morning.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's the mood, Lance, today, this morning, as, let's say, compared to Friday morning after the Game 5 loss to the Red Sox?
Not different. Not much different. I'm still a little depressed. I haven't gone to the field yet. Pack my stuff up. I just think, obviously the series went how the series went, but the Red Sox played extremely well, especially after game one. I thought that most everything that could have gone their way did, as far as guys making plays, guys coming up with big at-bats on the team. So, you know, for us, it's obviously disappointing into a year that was otherwise a historic year in Astros history with the most wins in franchise history. But that's how it goes sometimes, man.
Are you going to watch the World Series? Or are you going to avoid it?
I will not.
Yeah, it's I think our connection.
I saw him on Twitter. You know, one thing Lance did do was He's kind of careful about how much he's on Twitter during the season. He went right back into it in the postseason. He was mixing it up with a few people. And one of the things he mentioned was that he wasn't going to watch the World Series, which I totally appreciate. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch the World Series. Some fan was trying to come out today, I guess, for quote-unquote playing for nothing with his knee injury. And I kind of was mixing up a little bit. And some guy was saying something about us not playing the series and having to watch from home. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm not good watching it, so, you know, all good.
There are a few places I think worse to go after a loss than to Twitter. And then after that, it's yes. Watching television. I think that's the second worst. After a bad loss, like for a team that I grew up rooting for, Lance, I would have to, like, I'd have a 3-day moratorium period where I could not look at anything.
Yeah, it's just, that, you know, that's how it is, man. All the trolls and everything about, I have my thumbs down picture.
All right, let's do this. Let me try to reset the connection with Lance here as we organize that, because I think Lance is giving us good stuff, but I feel like we obviously can't hear it all that well. I'm kind of with Lance on this. I'm going to have a really tough time. I actually think this is an interesting World Series between LA and Boston, but based on everything that happened last week, it's like a grieving process to where I'm going to have a really, like, I'll flip it on back and forth, but it's, especially after last year and after last week, it's going to be tough.
It'll be on the small TV in my command center that I don't have the immediately in my line of sight, so I'll look over every now and then. Is it interesting or is it a boring game? Maybe I'll take a look at it later in the later innings, especially when Craig Kimbrell comes on the mound or something like that. But for the most part, I will be watching other things tonight.
Well, plus just with the way these games are going to be long. These are really long games. Like even by World Series standards. And like, I don't know. Maybe by midway through the series, they'll enact allowing the pitchers to have earpieces so we don't have to have as many mound visits.
And that's something that'll come up here. Let me reestablish this. All right, let's hope the phone gods are with us here as Lance McCullers is joining us via the Buyer's Barricades Hotline. Lance, one more thing on the ALCS. Obviously, the Red Sox came in as a 108-win team. They were the underdogs in the series based on the betting odds. Is there anything about the Red Sox in the last four games that took you guys by surprise to any extent?
Well, I mean, for me, their bullpen, I think, pitched much better than they had been pitching over the last couple of months of the season, especially in the Yankee series. But honestly, man, you know, it was the Benintendi catch to keep the game from being tied, possibly from us winning game three. The call that was made on Betts in right field the first inning of one of the games that you know, may or may not have changed some of the momentum. There was the Jackie Bradley continuously coming up with with big hits, the ball running along the rail in game two to let that extra run score. There's a lot of things that that happened during the series, man, and that's baseball. And I'm sure teams could go back. We put the Yankees last year, the Dodgers, and they could start, you know, spewing off things that, that went our way. I think that just happens sometimes.
Did game four have the same feeling of game five in the World Series last year? To me, watching it did. Just the back and forth, the length of the game, the amount of adrenaline I think that every single at-bat brought to the table.
Man, game four was crazy because we kind of felt like, you know, that was a game that we really, really, really needed to win. And game five last year was very similar. I think the Red Sox knew that if they won that game, the kind of control that they would have over the series. And obviously we knew if we won that game, that swung it right back into our favor because we'd be 2-2 going into game five with a Verlander on the mound, a chance to win, and going back to Boston, which quite frankly, we've played great in Boston over the last year, 2 years. So it was definitely an important game for us. I think maybe losing that game, especially the way we lost it, may have taken a little bit of wind out of our sails, but I'm proud of the guys and the way we fought. It just didn't happen for us.
I always have a tough time figuring this out because I don't want to ascribe too much, Lance, to what I'm about to say. I was at both games four and game five. And obviously in game four, after the Altuve Betts play, you guys came back and you took the lead, the Springer home run, the Kemp home run, the whole deal. I know baseball is an interesting team game because it's kind of a series of like individual matchups in a way. Is it tough emotionally to come back from a play like the Altuve one, or do people in the media sort of overstate that?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think it is tough. I think the whole game, you're looking up there, and whether you're up by one or whether you're up by two or you're down by one or two, you always say, man, we should have two more. And that's how I look at it. I mean, you know, when we're playing the game and Carlos hits that go-ahead single and we're up by one and then James gives up the home run and we're down by one, I'm thinking we should still be up. It's just how the human mind works. It's hard not to think that way. So that, you know, it's tough to kind of play the whole rest of the game with that kind of lingering in the back of your mind.
Where were you sitting and what was your line of sight when the fan interference call was made?
I was still inside. I was still inside getting ready for the game, but from all the views that I could see, first of all, you know, I think the dead ball call, I think Joe West may have originally made a call of dead ball. By the rule, I think that technically is the correct decision. It's, if there is any sort of fan interference where the umpire can't tell what really happened, I think that he should call dead ball and they need to decide whether it was going to be a ground rule double, if it was out into the field of play, or if it's going to be a home run. You know, my thing is with them saying they couldn't, there was no evidence of Mookie being over that line or not, I thought was a little bit, you know, you could clearly tell that the man leaped and he was clearly, his glove was clearly into the seats. The fans weren't reaching over by any means. They were kind of leaned back a little bit in a way, almost in defense mode from the ball hitting them. So it's just crazy to think Gaddis made a point where it's like, Jose Altuve hit a ball out of the ballpark. It was not caught, and he was called out for it. That's kind of what it boils down to, in my mind. So that's kind of crazy.
And I had a tough time getting past Joe West saying that it was conclusive. I don't know how anyone could have determined it was conclusive or not. And it seemed like Twitter was split on it 50-50 with national baseball writers. Everyone from Boston thought that it was fan interference. Everyone from here thought it was a home run. So it was a subjective call. For me, afterwards, Lance, like, yeah, Joe West saying definitively that's what the call was, I thought was a load of crap.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, let's do something here. Joe West called an amazing game behind the plate the day before. Probably one of the better games I've ever seen called behind home plate. And I think that him calling dead ball originally, if that's what he did call, was the correct call. But I think, you know, the replay system or Joe saying that it was definitely going to be caught or he definitely was fan interference is wrong, because how many times have we seen a guy leap up into the stands and his glove goes back over the fence? He may catch the ball, then he hits the wall, the ball comes out, or hits the ground, or it hits the end of his glove. I mean, the ball Springer caught, you play that in slow motion before the ball hits the end of his glove and his glove kind of bends back, it looks like he's going to catch it 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So you can never tell me, there's too many factors, someone's definitely going to catch a baseball, especially that way, reaching back over his shoulder into the stand. So I thought it should at least have been called a double, by the least, or not a homer.
I'm glad that you made the point about Joe West's strike zone. I mean, you pitched in just about every single game. You had a different home plate umpire for every single game. Is there a way that these umps can be more consistent with the strike zone that they're calling? Because it did feel very different from game to game.
Well, that's the human element that, you know, baseball is still kind of grasping. They don't want to get rid of. They didn't want to get rid of the out. I mean, the replays. They didn't want to give up replay for certain things, which is why you can challenge some plays and other plays. You can challenge a foul ball behind the umpire, but not in front of them. You can't challenge a check swing, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, I think I got really hurt by a 2-1 pitch to Holt. That was clearly a check swing that would have made the count 2-2 before I ended up by walking him. So there's just a human element that MLB doesn't want to get rid of, and I understand that. I mean, this game's been around so long, and umpires, we're not trying to replace umpires. I think at this point in life, at this point in society where the technology is so high, there has to be some form of just more help so the calls are always right, because that's what people want. But Joe West was incredible behind the plate. I don't know how to get everyone like that, because that's what pitchers want, that's what hitters want. We don't want to get calls that are balls, and hitters don't want to get calls that are strikes. We just want it to be 100% fair. And that game by Joe was crazy good. So props for him for that. I do think that the call in right field was not the correct one, but that's my opinion.
Lance, so kind of the elephants in the room, your comments after Game 5 and some of the stuff on social media, what can you say about your health moving forward here?
Well, you know, I'll say what I said kind of at the end of the game. There's still things that we still kind of have to work out. There's still, doctors need to be seen, conversations need to be had, but a lot of guys on our team were playing with a lot. I think a lot of guys on our team were playing with more than the average team would be dealing with and or be playing through. And it may be something where it may be a little while for me, but I think what's important to kind of understand about me as a person, as a player, is I'm still just turned 25 years old, and I think my best days, especially in an Astros uniform, are still ahead of me. So regardless of what happens to me, I think our team is in a good place for 2019, and I'll be ready to contribute whenever my time comes again.
If you're out for a little bit, how tough is that for you mentally? Because getting to know you over the last couple of years, I feel like if something were to happen, you seem like you have a pretty good mental handle on things from a personal standpoint.
Well, for me, I think it's all about kind of, life is a lot of that kind of old saying about how you react to what's thrown at you. I think that as long as, regardless of what the situation is and regardless of what the decision is, you just kind of got to do your best in the situation you're put in. And I think that, I put a lot of myself, a lot of my effort and focus into whatever I'm doing. So hopefully if that's suiting up and getting ready to go in 2019 or if it's rehab, whatever the case may be, that's still to be determined here in the next couple of weeks, but I'm ready for whatever. And like I said, man, I plan to wear an Astros uniform and hopefully for a long time. And I still think that my best days and future championships are ahead.
Lance, we will catch up with you and see you on Thursday. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. See you in there.
Lance McCullers, brought to you by Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. We will obviously react to that.